And we have covered Abraham's offspring, Judah's might, David's true son, and today we want to look at Isaiah's great light. In each of these 4 weeks, we have seen how the message that has come forth to us in the Old Testament is a message of promise pointing to the coming of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Messiah. And we're going to see that same thing as we consider today Isaiah's great light. Now in Isaiah chapter 9, this is where we're going to start this morning. So if you want to turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9, you can. Our main passage is found in verse 2. However, when we read another verse a little further down, we come to a verse that is often used during this time of the year and, of course, other times of the year. And it says this, and you'll probably recognize it as I read it. This is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so this whole passage is about, it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming. But there's another verse in verse 2, which is where we're going to focus this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and it says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And as we consider this verse, it really is a foreshadowing of the coming Christ who will deliver people from their sin, whose sin has left them in darkness, whose sin has left them in the shadow of death or at the doorstep of death. And that is the plight, death, for all mankind apart from the saving of Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to focus on this morning. When we read this verse, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." We can't, first of all, or I can't anyways, first of all, think about this passage without going back to Genesis. You'll recognize this from Genesis chapter 1. It is the first day of creation, the first act of creation. Here in these verses of Genesis 1, it says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." You know that verse, don't you? All right. Love it. "Let there be light. And the light shone in the darkness." Now, if we consider this creation, this act of God, we're not talking about the light from the sun, which is created on the fourth day, but it is the light of the presence of God as He manifests Himself within creation. And it actually is a theme, this light in the darkness, a theme that is carried on throughout Scripture all the way to the New Testament, looking at Jesus, who is the light of the world. John, in his gospel, makes much of this. The Gospel of John, you may or may not know this, is actually a parallel from the days of creation. It is a magnificent construction through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he begins his gospel recognizing the light of the world. So this is how John chapter 1 opens. The Gospel of John, the very first few verses here, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So great is this light, the light of Christ coming into the world, and that is exactly what we're celebrating here, and that's why we light candles, and I love lights. Anybody with me on that? I love lights. Years ago, I put lights in our bedroom for the first time during Christmas time, and I haven't let Christina take them down ever since. All day, all year long, every day. I just love lights. I love light. I love the light. Jesus Christ, our light. He is the one who shines in the darkness. He is the one who gives us hope. Those of us who walk in the shadow of death, who walk towards death because of sin, He is the one who gives us hope. He is the one who brings forgiveness. He is the one who enables us to escape the darkness into His light, His glorious light, the kingdom of Christ. And so on this final Advent Sunday morning, we want to look at Jesus the light, prophesied in Isaiah, that great light that has come to us. Our first point this morning is this: receive the light. Receive the light. The light did not come into this world for nothing or for no reason. He came to us. He came to mankind. He came to deliver us from our sins. And so we read fantastic verses about this, and you'll see these ideas of creation and light and darkness and sin and forgiveness all woven into all of these verses that we're going to look at. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we look at this and we consider that Jesus Christ has come. It is the light that shines in our heart, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It is because of Christ coming to us that we can know God at all. It is because He has acted on our behalf. It is because He has moved in us to give us salvation, to give us light, to give us an understanding of who He is, an understanding of the glory of God. So praise the Lord for His grace. Praise the Lord for the way that He has moved and acted on our behalf. Otherwise, we would be doomed. If God had not done something, if God had not moved, we would be doomed. But praise the Lord, He loves us so much that He wants us to be a part of His. He wants us to be His people. He has, in fact, made us His people. Even more than that, He has adopted us into His family. And we are now children of God. Praise be to the Lord. Another passage, this is one of my favorites, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And every time I read this verse, this is how I picture it. And this is how I see the power and the authority of Jesus coming through to me. So, He has delivered me. He has reached down. He has plucked me up from the depths of darkness, and He has put me into the kingdom of His beloved Son. What a great verse this is. We are no longer confused by the darkness. We are no longer blinded by the darkness, but we see Him clearly, not as clearly as we will one day, but His light shines in us, and He gives us an understanding of Him. He has put us into His kingdom. And so the first exhortation and encouragement that comes to us is, look, He didn't come into this world for nothing, like I said. He came so that we might behold the light and that we might escape the darkness. And so the first exhortation that comes to us this morning, when the light shines, receive the light and walk in the light. Do not reject the light and go back out in the darkness, but see Him for who He is. Remember what He has done and walk in this light that He has brought to your heart. And that's our second point, actually. Receive the light. Secondly, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Going back to the Gospel of John. So if you're in the Gospel of John, turn to chapter 3 this time. And this is why I keep saying He didn't come for no reason. He didn't come just to be admired. He came to be received and accepted. We see this in John chapter 3. And I'm going to start in verse 18. Now, normally, when we think of John chapter 3, we think of John chapter 3, verse 16. Well, I'm going to start at verse 18, go a little past that. If you want to read verse 16, you can. Now's your chance, right now, read it. All right, verse 18. He who believes in Him, Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. So here it is. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now, this is a powerful passage here. It shows us that when the light had come into the world, there was the expectation or the hope, and of course God knows all things, but there's the expectation and the hope that the man who lives in darkness would see the light and rejoice. But sadly, that is not always the case. Men love their evil deeds so much that they're willing to walk away from the light and not allow His grace to shine upon them. They love their evil deeds more than they love what God has done for them. But praise the Lord for us who have been called and chosen. We are His. We belong to Him. He comes into this darkness. We love Him, the light, and we turn away from the darkness. And so, having turned away from the darkness and from the evil deeds that are associated with the darkness, there is now the exhortation and the encouragement to us to walk in the light. All right, so you were walking in darkness, and all of a sudden, this heavenly angelic light shines in the darkness. You no longer have to walk in the deeds of the darkness, so you're going to turn from that, and you're going to begin to walk in this light, right? It shows or reflects a change of life. You cannot be touched by Jesus and your life not be changed. You know what I mean? You cannot be touched by Jesus and not be changed. Coming to Jesus is the turning upside down of your life. It is the rejection and the putting aside of all that is dark and wicked. It is putting that aside, and now all of a sudden there is light and there is clarity. There is an understanding of the glory of God, and there is the desire and the opportunity to walk in this light that He has shown on us. And in fact, we are encouraged that. Going back to Isaiah, but this time chapter 2, light is a theme, one of the themes in the book of Isaiah. It says, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen? That's the encouragement. Come on, you guys. Now, Isaiah's message to a sinful people preparing to be attacked by enemies because of their sin, he says, come, put that sinful stuff aside. Start walking in the light. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. So the light has come to us. And what does that mean? Well, receive it, first of all. Don't reject it. Don't love your evil deeds. Reject those evil deeds. Receive the light and then walk in that light. And then it brings us to our third point this morning. Shine the light. Shine the light. Now, this is the part of the Christmas Eve service, the candlelight service that we do every year, that I love the most. I love light, right? You got that? All right. It's when we all have a candle, we all light our lights, and we hold them up. I just love that. It's great, you know? All the lights are dim, and it's dark, and there's just this little bit of light up here. But then we all light our candles, we all have our light, and it's just great. So, we don't receive the light just to, I'm going to read it in a second. Don't hide your light under a what? Yeah, don't hide your light under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. All right, I won't say any comments about the song. But here we've looked at the beginning of Isaiah, the very beginning of Isaiah. Now we're going to go all the way to the end of Isaiah. And there's this fantastic verse here. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness that covers shall cover the earth, and thick darkness, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your coming." Now, at first blush, this might seem messianic in its portrayal of the light, and it does turn that way, in fact. However, right here, it's talking about the glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord coming upon us, and that light shining forth from us. And so we walk in this world. Jesus, the light, has come, and you know what He has done? He has shared that light. He has bestowed that light. He has put that light upon you and me. And so now we are the bearers of the light of life. And we could say it this way: we are the bearers of the gospel of Christ, the light of the world, right? The light has come to us. It is seen upon us. And you know what the light does? It draws people to us, or away from us. But in this passage, you'll see, it says, "Arise and shine. Let that light shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Now, we are Christians, little Christs. When people look at us, they should see Christ. Amen? "The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Let your light shine. And when you let your light shine, the Gentiles shall come to your light." This doesn't mean that everybody's going to come to your light, but it does mean that in this world in which we shine as lights, people will come. And that gives us the opportunity to share that light, the same light that has come to us, to share that light with them. Tell others about Jesus. Now here's that other verse I was referring to before, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And actually, I'll talk more about this verse tonight, but this is what it says. Here's our outline, but Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says this: "You are the light of the world." This is Jesus speaking. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And it may be that when Jesus said this, He was thinking of Isaiah chapter 60. "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And like I said, we'll talk about this tonight. We are not to take that light and hide it. We are to take that light and shine it. I can't tell you how many people I've come across over the years that think that their religion or that their faith is a private thing between them and God. And it is. At one level, there is a personal nature to our relationship to God. Our salvation is between me and God, personally. I'm not saved because of my parents. I'm not saved because of my family. I'm not saved because of other people in my life throughout the years. I am saved by Jesus Christ, and it is a personal relationship with Him. But once He has given me that light of His, that light, it is no longer personal after that. I must take that light, I must take that life, and I must shine it for the world to see. We'll talk tonight, Lord willing, about what that looks like and what that means. But let us conclude this morning with this exhortation that you are the light of the world. Verse 16, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men." Receive the light, walk in the light, and share the light on this Christmas day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we magnify you and we thank you and we praise you for what you have done. You have called us. You have saved us. You have shown your light in this dark world. You have delivered us from the shadow of death. Praise be to you. We bow before you. We lift you up and exalt you. All the glory belongs to you. Thank you for bringing us into your family, making us a part of your kingdom. Glory be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.